the Races, powered by The Racing Biz, your independent voice for racing and breeding in the Mid-Atlantic. On the web at theracingbiz.com. On the radio, on ESPN Richmond, it's Off to the Races. Here's Nick Hahn.
Good morning, everybody in Richmond and Harrisonburg and across the World Wide Web. Thanks for spending your sensational Saturday morning with us on Off to the Races, a Chamber of Commerce Saturday. Finally, it's been gone through a couple of tough weekends here in Virginia with Ophelia last week and maybe rain early, especially in the harness meet up at Shenandoah Downs, but a great weekend of racing in front of us. There are some impacts up the Northeast that we'll talk about with rain and flooding up there. But what you heard in the opening there, the Preakness winner is racing today. National Treasure comes back to race, looks for his last start before racing in the Breeders' Cup and the Awesome Again at Santa Anita later tonight. So after you got your fill of football, be sure to tune in Santa Anita. That race is about 7:45 Eastern Standard Time. So we'll talk a little bit about National Treasure and his chances going in. He's going to face a pretty tough field here. He's, I think, the third favorite behind a couple of horses owned or trained by Bob Baffert and Doug O'Neill, Slow Down Andy and Defunded. Also on today's show, we'll speak with John Salzman. Low Mileage, the winner of the Jamestown Stakes at Colonial Downs, is racing today up at Laurel Park. So we'll talk to the trainer about the his chances today in that two-year-old race. Daryl Wood will join us here in the leadoff role in just a few moments, live from Shenatoga, Shenandoah Downs, where you'll see a lot of pink on the racetrack this weekend. Frank Vespi will join us in about a half hour or so. Living the dream with Frank. It's been a little bit of a nightmare up in Maryland in terms of trying to get the industry back under reins. And we'll get his thoughts about that and just an interesting story that he has as well. And then Debbie Warnick will join us as well to talk about the harness meet up at Shenandoah Downs up in Woodstock. Harrisonburg listeners will especially want to take interest in that. It's Foxfield this weekend. So, I mean, there's racing on the steeplechase front, Foxfield, the fall races tomorrow. You have Shenandoah Downs live racing up in the valley today. And, of course, racing across the country with a couple win and you're in races. The ACAC and the Awesome Again are the two win and you're in races for the Breeders' Cup, which is not far away. Our last show will be over Breeders' Cup weekend. And, of course, the Juveniles running on the Friday, the Breeders' Cup at Santa Anita. Arcangelo is currently out there. Of course, we talked about National Treasure as well for the Classic. Horses that have automatic entries, when in your in entries, include Go Rocket Ride and the Haskell. Arabian Knight has the Pacific Classic win. White Oberio, the Whitney win. Bright Future, the Jockey Club Gold Cup win. And then you have a couple foreign interests that have wins as well. And we'll talk a little bit more and more about the Breeders' Cup as it is coming right down the tracks right at us in the horse racing fall calendar. Let's go back to last week. And it was a rainy Pennsylvania Derby, pretty much the only track racing in the Mid-Atlantic due to the impacts of Tropical Storm Ophelia. And the Pennsylvania Derby, $1 million stakes race. This is the time of year where three-year-olds blend into the older horses. They start facing off. You see fewer and fewer three-year-old races on the dirt and on the turf. In this case, it was on the slop, as it was officially listed as sloppy and track was sealed for that. Frank Vespi talked with track announcer Jessica Paquette, forgot her first name for the moment, Jessica Paquette, who became the first female to actually call Grade 1 races last week. In the Pennsylvania Derby, you had Ira Miracolo with Michael Sanchez aboard. You had Reincarnate, who was the morning line favorite in the race. Scotland, a horse that ran in the Triple Crown, was also in this field. Saudi Crown, though, turned out to be the favorite. Let's hear how Jessica Paquette brought him home in the Pennsylvania Derby.
There's a quarter mile left to go, and the cheer of the crowds welcomes them at the finish line. Saudi Crown, he hits the top of the stretch in command. Magic Tap coming up the rail. Reincarnate spinning his wheels, needs to do a bit better. Dreamlike is flying late. Il Miracolo with a shot. Saudi Crown has led every step of the way. Can he take them home? There's a 16th left to go. Saudi Crown on the outside. Dreamlike flying, but it's a coronation for Saudi Crown in the Pennsylvania Derby.
Yeah, Saudi Crown gets the win in the Pennsylvania Derby, and just a good performance there. My pick in the race, I was hoping to get 3-1 in the morning line. The horse got bet all the way down to nearly even money, $4.20 for the win in the Pennsylvania Derby that went a mile and an eighth under very sloppy conditions. Congratulations to the Winning Connections FMQ Stables and winning trainer Brad Cox. Florent Giroux delivered the winner. Going next to the Greenwood Cup, which was an interesting race. It was a mile and a half on the dirt, that is the slop with the rain up there. You had Riding with Biden in the field, but the overwhelming favorite was Next. Jessica Paquette calls the Greenwood Cup.
As they make their way around the final turn, Next has been unleashed. He is putting some daylight between himself and Riding with Biden, who's trying hard in second, but Next is just putting on a show. As they go through the turn and hit the top of the stretch, Next, a gray horse on a gray day, and he is in command. Riding with Biden in on the rail, splashing up the rail, but it is all about Next, the true marathoner, just striding home. It's just a matter of how much he wants to win by with a 16th left to go, and Next gets the win in the Greenwood Cup. Next, your front-running winner, Riding with Biden, trying to hold on for a second.
Wondering if it's a misprint still, because that horse may have literally run out of the TV set. Next, with a 25-length win in the mile-and-a-half Greenwood Cup, Grade 3 last week at Parks. Actually, Paco Lopez in a little bit of hot water with Riding with Biden. I think the horse was so far in front of him, basically just started to reel him in and gotten a little bit of hot water for failing to ride his mount out. So Riding Biden ended up being third, did not hold on very, didn't make a great attempt to do so, and that can get you in hot water. It's a tough spot for some of these jockeys sometimes because they have to not only, you know, the expectation to win and ride out, but you always have to think about the safety of the horses as well. And got a little bit in a box there, Paco Lopez, but congratulations to the Connections of Next. That's the real story here. William Cowens with the win there for owner Michael Foster. And yeah, not a big price there as well. $2.60 for that win. Just sort of recapping a couple of other races before we get to Darrell Wood. Nobody Listens won the Turf Monster. We had Phil Schoenthal on the radio show last week talking about Determined Kingdom, who ended up sixth in the race. Went off at a pretty big price, but just did not like the yielding condition at all. So a tragic story with Nobody Listens, who actually had to be euthanized, not on the track, but on the way home, got involved in an incident while in transport. So kind of a sad story out of that race. Condolences to those Connections there with Nobody Listens, who just came off of a stakes win last week. And then in the Cotillion, Ceiling Crusher won the Cotillion, the Grade 1, a mile and a 16th for the three-year-olds, fillies there. And then Damon's Mound wins the Gallant Bob at Parks, a horse that was at Colonial Downs through the 2022 season, working out, and actually at one point could have been considered the favorite for the Derby. That career and that projection did not work out for Damon's Mound, but Damon's Mound has had a pretty solid comeback this year. So a congratulations to Michelle Lovell, former guest on the show, and the connections there, Michelle and Cliff Love. And there'll be plenty of love up at Shenandoah Downs this weekend, beginning at 1 o'clock with racing up at Chenatoga. And let's introduce Daryl Wood to the show. Not only is he the boxer, it's when you know he's coming on the show. He boxes exactas. He's the trifecta boxer. Every now and then, the superfecta boxer. And Daryl joins us on Off to the Races. Daryl, good morning.
Morning, Nick. How you doing today?
Hey, you finally got a good weekend. How about the weather this weekend? How's everything stack up? It's a shame JMU kicks off at noon today. They're off next weekend, so another opportunity there. But not discouraging in terms of the weather. It's a Chamber of Commerce day up there in the upper Shenandoah Valley.
Yeah, we've got weekend number three of a seven-week season kicking off here at 1 o'clock today. But, the first last weekend was not a washout, but it rained during the entire weekend, and we got the races in the weekend before. We had to cancel Sunday's card after the fourth race. Saturday, the first Saturday, was really nice, though. But, yeah, we deserve a good weekend, and I think we've got it here starting at 1 o'clock both today and tomorrow.
What are some of the promotions that you have? Pink is not exactly a foliage type of color. It shows up in a couple of trees, but you're going to have a lot of it up there.
Yeah, it's our Pink Power promotion. We do this every year to a kind of a breast cancer awareness fundraiser for the Cancer Society, the Shenandoah Valley chapter. So we've got a lot of pink-related things today, and kind of a neat deal. We've got an all-female driver's race, and all the ladies are donating their share of the purse monies that they win from driving to the Cancer Society. And we've got four amateur races, I should say, as well, part of a series that's here every Saturday. And for the meet, every driver donates their share as well. So the Cancer Society is really going to come out well here, and we've got raffles for prizes today. So it's an annual deal, and we're proud of it. We've got a great relationship with some of the nonprofits in this area. And, it's always a fun day here on Pink Power Day.
Powder Puff Derby, the Fancy Hat Contest. You got the Skill Billies playing today. That might work in well as a double with the Dropkick Murphys playing at the Pavilion later in the weekend. $1 hot dogs, $2 canned beer, live music. I mean, it's a fun time up there.
Yeah, we do get, when the weather's nice, we get people to travel. I know there's half dozen or so of the old Colonial Harness fans in the Richmond area that come up here, and encourage some of your listeners as well to give it a shot. It's about a 2.5-hour drive if the tractor trailers are playing nice, but it's a nice drive up here, and quite a scenic venue. And we've got betting. We've got 14 races today, 14 tomorrow. I'll tell you what, we took entries for this weekend on Tuesday, and they had 272 horses in the box. That's the most we've ever had. So we're we're busting at the seams here right now.
Yeah, need just a slightly bigger track, perhaps. I know that that's something that's a goal with among the harness horsemen. Next weekend, maybe an opportunity for a live broadcast up there. Was been kicking this around, so we may be up there next weekend, which would really suit well. They have the Shenandoah Autumn Fest next weekend, as well as miniature horse races on that Sunday.
Yeah, Autumn Fest, it's neat. We're part of this Shenandoah Valley celebration that's now ranked number 7 by USA Today in the Best Fall Festival. So we're thrilled to be part of that. That's going to be right on the grounds in conjunction with racing next Saturday. So it's we're going to have 3,000-4,000 people in the grounds. It's going to be quite vibrant. It's old school racing, grandstands filled, lines at the betting windows, and a great time to be had. So that's next Saturday.
Okay. Yeah. No. Plenty of plenty of racing in the Upper Shenandoah Valley. Just a unique venue. It's definitely a bucket list type of visit. If you haven't been there before, come out and see what racing used to look like and still looks like today up at Shenandoah Downs. Have a great weekend, Daryl. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, Nick. Enjoy Fox Field tomorrow.
You got it. Yeah, the Fox Field races here in Charlottesville, the fall running. Always a staple on the steeplechase calendar. And, of course, the Montpelier races coming up as well. Going to reach out now. John Salzman has an interesting day in front of him. John Salzman Jr., his father trained Extra Heat, just a sensational sprinter up in Maryland, and has a Virginia bred owned by Bird and Grady LLC. Low mileage, the Jamestown Stakes winner is racing today in the Salima Stakes at Laurel Park, a mile and a 16th on the turf. They're going to have great weather today, and John joins us now and off to the races. John, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great, and finally, it looks like the sun is going to be out on a weekend. We're going to have great conditions, and you have Low Mileage, who is just an interesting horse in the sense that comes up through Laurel, takes a chance in the Keswick Stakes, didn't really go according to plan, comes back and runs in the Jamestown Stakes at Colonial Downs on September 2nd. And was a pretty convincing winner of the race. Tell us about your hopes with this 2-year-old filly, and what your chances today. The horse is 12-1, which kind of caught my eye as being a surprise. I think this horse is going to run well over 12-1.
Well, I mean, I'm hoping so. But you were talking about conditions. We've had tons of rain here all week, so I don't really know what the conditions are going to be of that turf course here. The turf's gotten much better in Maryland. It does take some rain, but we had that hurricane or tropical storm come through. I mean, it's been raining and drizzly every day except for yesterday and today, so I'm a little concerned on how soft the turf's going to be. But the good part is they're going to run the second and fourth race on the turf earlier. So if it's not safe, then I wouldn't be surprised if they changed their plans and maybe took them off the turf, which I'm not overly concerned either way. This filly seems like a nice filly. She's done everything I've asked of her. She went on the dirt her first start and come from off the pace and was in a little trouble. And then I had to run her back to get her. I wanted to get another race in her before the Keswick, so I ran her in the A other than here with boys. And she actually ran a super race and a pretty nice horse beater of Cal Lynch's that had won first time out and runs fast time and come back and beat me in that race. And then I see they did try him on the turf some, I think in Canada or something. He didn't run any good, but I guess he just didn't like the turf. And then she ran back into Keswick. Didn't quite go as smoothly as I would have liked. She was she got banged around a little bit leaving there, and she come back, she was all cut up behind, and it didn't make any sense to me. But after I talked to Jevian, he said he knew something happened to her. He didn't know quite how bad it was, but it was pretty severe, and she still ran a good race, got beat 5 lengths. And then in the Jamestown, everything seemed to go her way. I was a little nervous turning for home. He was sitting waiting to get through on the fence, but he actually did get lucky enough to get through, and she did draw off. So, it's a big question. I've found in Colonial a lot of horses like that turf course. So this is a more of a, I'd say a real turf course, but I don't know why horses like the turf a whole lot more in Colonial. I think it's a sandier base or something, but I've had a lot of horses that handle that turf that aren't turf horses. So we're going to see. I mean, she's doing super, and I'm looking forward to it. And the 12-1, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, she beat Virginia Breds down there, and she did beat the boys, but it wasn't an extremely tough race. I mean, it's easier to say now that you've won it, but I thought it was a rather easy spot. So this is a little more of a test with the Chad Browns and the Weavers and all the big boys coming. So we'll learn a little more today, hopefully.
It was an interesting take with Low Mileage. The thing that stands out with me with that Jamestown was, the horse was cross-entered with the dirt race at Timonium, I think, if not the same day, the same weekend. which is a little tighter, small track versus Colonial, which has a more sweeping turn on the turf, of course. I guess it was a pretty easy decision to come to Colonial based on the feel. But I mean, does that sort of show a little bit of the versatility of this horse?
Like I said, I'm not convinced that she's either turf or dirt. I think she'll do either one. And I mean, I'm hoping, you know, I looked her up. The mare had never run, but then I looked the grandmare up, and the grandmother run a mile and 3/8. All of her races were on the grass. I mean, I'm not saying she was a stake horse, but she definitely was a grass horse, and she definitely ran long. So then I looked up Mineshaft, and he's got a fair share of runners on the grass too. So I mean, it's not out of the question. I entered at Timonium. It was actually the same day, and I entered at Timonium. They called me and told me it was a 5-horse field at the time when I entered, and I said, "Well, I'll put her in there," because I'm 20 minutes from Timonium, and I'm 3 hours in the heat from Colonial. So if the race at Timonium had come up, you know, that week of a field, then that's what I would have done. And to be honest with you, I never even looked at the field at Timonium because the entries come out first at Colonial. And once I seen who was in there, I made up my mind before I even seen who was in the Timonium race that I was coming there. So, it was just a matter of choosing, but I think I did the right thing one way or the other. And like I said, it didn't matter to me dirt or turf, and especially with the Colonial turf course, because like I said, I've had a lot of luck with horses handling that turf course that aren't actually turf horses.
Low Mileage, just one of the horses in your barn. You took a stab at the Preakness this year. It's a pretty good year for you, with a couple of nice horses with a Coffee with Chris. I went up and ran at Charlestown, not what you like there, but you know, this is a nice horse that broke his maiden at Colonial Downs. Actually, I don't have that right. Broke his maiden at Pimlico and then came back and ran at Colonial Downs. But, you know, maybe give us an update, Coffee with Chris, you know, what the plans may be for your Preakness starter this year.
Well, the Preakness was I took a shot. I got beat 2 lengths in the Tessio, and that's a win in your end race. So I'd made up my mind if you win the Tessio and the Preakness was going to, come up, not easy, but not all the Derby horses, that I was going to run. And then after I got beat 2 lengths in the Tessio, and he run his eyeballs out, he was on the lead, and I'm not sure that's the best he wanted to be. But I got to thinking about it more and more, and, you know, you don't get a chance like that right in your back door. So I changed my mind. I just said I wasn't going to let 2 lengths decide whether I run in a Triple Crown race. And I ran him, and honestly, he just didn't handle the racetrack over there. It was the same thing. He come back, he got all cut up. I mean, if he'd have turned for home and made his move and opened up or was right there and then got tired going a mile 3/16, I'd have been fine with it. But he just never ran his race that day. It was a bad day. I guess he picks the big races to give me ulcers or something. But anyway, he came out of it fine. Everything was good. And then I took him to Charlestown, and that's a whole different story. That race, I'm just going to write off. It was, I had to change riders, and there was, like I said, it was a lot of drama with that. So we're just going to let that race go as a write off. And then I gave him 30 days off, and I was planning on giving him 60 days. I gave him 30 days off here, and we've just been turning him out in the round pen, and he's bucking and playing and kicking. And I'm the type of guy, it's hard to turn out. You know, I don't have that many real nice horses that, it's hard to turn out a horse like that and something happened to him on the farm and get hurt. I mean, he's been a sound horse. He does everything I ask of him. So he's doing great right now. I actually started him back to the track 3 or 4 days ago, and I'm just going to train him lightly and see how he does. And then there's a 3-year-old race here in November that I'm heading for. And but he's doing super. Everything's fine with him.
Great. Yeah, Coffee with Chris. We'll look for him for that start later this fall. John, we appreciate it. Good luck to you and heavy in Toledo, who will have the mount today. Looking for back-to-back wins in the Salima Stakes today, a mile and a 16th on the turf. Good luck today. Appreciate you coming on Off to the Races.
All right. Thank you. And you guys have a good day.
Great. John Salzman taking a shot with Low Mileage, a Colonial Stakes winner that is going to try and take a little higher step up. The Jamestown Stakes, $125,000 stakes race, going for $150,000 today in the Salima Stakes. So just one of many races. They got four stakes races on the card at Laurel Park today. We'll speak with Frank Vespi about some of them when we get back on the other side. Also today, they run the Jefferson Cup at Churchill Downs today. You have the ACAC, which is part of the Win in Your End. Zosos is the feature in that race. The Lucas Classic is in this Rattle and Roll running as well. And then I've already touched a little bit about some of the nice stakes races. The Preakness winner, of course, starting out at Santa Anita. So as we head to break on off to the races, we still have Frank Vespi in front of us. Debbie Warnick will get a live shot from Foxfield, where they'll be running the Foxfield races later today, and of course Shenandoah Downs. You're listening to Off to the Races, powered by theracingbiz.com. Virginia's horse racing and horse breeding industry is built on the talents, skills, labors, and passions of incredible people working in all parts of the Commonwealth. Horses fuel the economy, power tourism, reinforce agriculture, and create jobs. From farmers to blacksmiths, trainers to vets, and racehorse staff to surrounding small businesses, the local horse racing and breeding industry alone supports 5,300 jobs and has an overall economic impact of $542 million annually. Over 5,400 horses are owned by Virginians, and another 2,400 out-of-state horses are boarded at Virginia farms. Last year, over $4 billion was wagered on horse racing in Virginia. Learn more about this thriving agribusiness at VirginiaHorseRacing.com. And be sure to enjoy the Colonial Downs Summer Thoroughbred Racing Season in New Kent, which runs from July 13th through September 9th, every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday afternoon at 1:30.
Dropkick Murphys, Fall Tour 2023. October 1st, the King Pavilion in Charlottesville. With the Interrupters. Jesse Ahern, Dropkick Murphys. Tickets on sale now at KingPavilion.com. Produced by Live Nation and Star Hill Presents.
Virginia's horse racing and horse breeding industry is built on the talent, skills, labors, and passions of incredible people working in all parts of the Commonwealth. Horses fuel the economy, power tourism, reinforce agriculture, and create jobs. From farmers to blacksmiths, trainers to vets, and racehorse staff to surrounding businesses, the local horse racing and breeding industry alone supports 5,300 jobs and has an overall impact of $542 million annually. Over 5,400 horses are owned by Virginians, and another 2,400 out-of-state horses are boarded at Virginia farms. Last year, over $4 billion was wagered on horse racing in Virginia. Learn more about this thriving agribusiness at VirginiaHorseRacing.com. And be sure to enjoy the Colonial Downs Summer Thoroughbred Racing Season in New Kent, which runs from July 13th through September 9th, every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 1:30.
Harness Racing returns to Shenandoah Downs in Woodstock this fall for a big 7-week season beginning September 16th. Watch, wager, and win 10 times each racing afternoon. Opening day is Saturday the 16th and features a free t-shirt giveaway celebrating 137 years of harness racing in Woodstock. Enjoy live music with the Seven Bends Band all afternoon. On Sunday the 17th, it's happy hour pricing with $1 hot dogs and $2 canned beer. Shenandoah Downs, where admission and parking are always free and the races are family friendly.
And we're back on Off to the Races on this Saturday morning. Thanks for tuning in in Harrisonburg and Richmond and on the World Wide Web as well. And you've heard the Living the Dream intro. That's reserved on this radio show for Frank Vespi, who joins us. And Frank, we just talked to John Salzman, and boy, it can be a little funny with these coastal storms moving up the East Coast. Here where I broadcast in Charlottesville, it's good to be back in Charlottesville, at least for a little while, doing on a Saturday morning. But we haven't seen like a substantial amount of rain even through the Ophelia event. But if you got closer to the coast, it may have been a whole different story. Just I guess the rain and sort of the overcast days we had here in Charlottesville came down as rain up in Laurel, but still a nice card at Laurel today with the four stakes races. You know, what's it like in Maryland this week?
Well, I think the sun has gone into witness protection up here, Nick, but other than that, you know, it's overcast, it's gray, it's a little cool. But it's not bad. They're on the turf. They'll be okay. And I think the rain is mostly not supposed to come. So I think we're going to be fine. And so we sure hope so, because we got the Salim on the turf, the Laurel Futurity on the turf, and the Japan Turf Cup, which not surprisingly is on the turf. So we kind of need to be on the turf. But I think we're going to be fine. So fingers crossed, everything should be okay.
Ken Brown, of course, is now involved with those racing surfaces up at Maryland. It may not be an immediate correction, but we know they're on the right path. And Ken Brown, as we learned late in the meet at Colonial, basically upon his retirement, played youth hockey with the great one, the great Gretzky. So for hockey fans, you know he pays attention to surface conditions, whether it's grass, dirt, or ice.
So as an adult, Nick, you know, this is about 20 years ago, but my wife got me as a present a trip to the Wayne Gretzky Fantasy Hockey Camp. And so I got to play with Gretzky and a whole bunch of other Hall of Famers there, which was super cool. And my claim to fame is I stole the puck from Gretzky.
What?
Yeah, he
you
was.
Did you really?
Yeah. I mean, our listeners wouldn't know or care, but I played from, you know, time I was 6 or 7 years old into my mid-30s as an adult. So I played a lot of hockey, played, you know, high school, college, whatever. And, Gretzky had the puck, and he did a little kind of dipsy-do trying to come out of the zone, and I stole it from him. And my wife said nobody looked more surprised than I was when I did that.
Well, I'd have t-shirts and bumper stickers done. I stole a puck from Gretzky, you know.
It was cool. You know, and the thing about him is being on the ice, whether it's with, you know, guys who are terrible like me and, you know, a bunch of other hacks, or with pros, that is his happy place. And, you know, he just, like, when he's on skates, he's got a big smile, he's just having a good time. It was cool. It was very cool to be around him.
Yeah, when I play hockey, it looks more like slip and slide than I don't think I've ever ice skated. Any sport where the ground moves underneath you and your feet are still is a little difficult for me for some reason. Always been that way. Let's start with the, try and get this in the Maryland situation. You know, in a nutshell, you did some great reporting. I can't
Thank you.
Really say the stories were great to hear at times, but meeting yesterday and the lead-in, the Preakness will be at Pimlico again. It's another last Preakness at Pimlico as we know it, but it may be that way, it sounds like, for a while. What's the situation with Maryland?
Yeah, they had a meeting, Nick, yesterday of the Maryland Racetrack Operating Authority, which is a newly created group that the state created that is supposed to report back to the legislature by December 1st with their recommendations for what the future of Maryland racing should look like. And they had held an earlier meeting where the Maryland Stadium Authority kind of went through the just dismal condition of the facilities at Laurel and Pimlico And then this meeting was to hear from the Maryland Jockey Club / First Racing, the track operator, what they think the future should be. And in essence, what they called for is fewer days of live racing, a circuit in the Mid-Atlantic, you know, so fewer days in Maryland, a circuit in the Mid-Atlantic, and that they should get a share of the VLT, the slots revenue, that currently all goes to purses. So they're calling for pretty significant changes, and you know, it's if they were to get everything they want, they would get a new Pimlico primarily on the state's dime, more money out of the VLT, and fewer racing days. So it's those are pretty big changes that they are seeking, and I don't think anybody expects everybody's going to get what they want out of this process, and I'm not sure anybody even knows how this process is going to proceed or how or whether it can reach a conclusion that works.
Yeah, with this deadline that seems to be approaching, there's going to be a bit of a reshuffling. It's good that a lot of trainers, you hear it from a lot of horsemen, and they would love to see that Maryland-Virginia circuit back together in some sort of format for a number of different issues, staffing, you know, racing.
I mean, it makes sense. There's, you know, there are fewer and fewer horses. We saw recently the fall crop is shrank a little bit again this year, and with the new rules with HISA, you really need more horses, because the HISA rules are going to mean probably more horses on the shelf for longer periods of time before they can pass, you know, all the various checks and stuff. Plus, soon enough, there's going to be a ban on Lasix, and that's going to knock some other horses out of competition, and so with fewer horses and horses, you know, running less frequently, and now probably going to be more or less required to run less frequently, everybody's going to have to figure out how to work together to share this population of horses.
On the Baltimore show this morning of Off to the Races that runs, I was trying to figure out how to lead off this story that you did, and I think the best way is with this race call from the 1997 Preakness. Pay attention for Dave Johnson's call specifically in regard to Captain Bodgett as he calls the 97 Preakness. And it was nearly Captain Bodgett. Tell us about the Capuano story.
Yeah, this is a neat story. Captain Bodgett was trained by Gary Capuano back then. That was 96. That was the 97 Preakness. And what had happened with him, he was owned by Phyllis Sassini. And after, I want to say, the Holy Bull, might have been the Fountain of Youth, one of those races, Team Valor bought the horse. But they decided for various reasons to leave the horse with Gary. And so Gary trained him. He was the beaten favorite in the Kentucky Derby by about a head, beaten favorite in the Preakness, again, by about a head. So he was a terrific horse. He was probably the best horse Gary had. So fast forward to now, Gary's son Phil is training and has a horse named Just Great, a filly who won at First Asking at Delaware Park by about 14 lengths. And Team Valor buys the horse after that debut victory. They decided to leave the horse with Phil Capuano, and they sent him Silks. And Phil told me, he kind of looked at the Silks and he was like, you know, it's not quite right. And he told his dad that, and Gary said, oh, well, if you want, you could use Captain Bodgett's Silks. So Just Great won the Small Wonder on Wednesday at Delaware Park, and Jamie Rodriguez, who rode her, was wearing the same Silks that Alex Solis was wearing in the Preakness and the Kentucky Derby and the Florida Derby and the Wood Memorial. So Captain Bodgett lives on, and everything kind of comes full circle for the Capuano family, which I just thought was kind of the coolest story I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, no, it really is. You remember we were talking just before we came on the air, and you remember your picks for the Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup and some of the Travers, some of the bigger races, of course, the Virginia Derby and now the Secretariat here in Virginia. Through the decades, you remember, I picked Captain Bodgett to win that year's Kentucky Derby. I'm pretty sure I bounced him back in the Preakness as well. But, when you mentioned the name, Do You Remember? I was like, oh, not only did I remember the horse, I remember the call, the race, and it's just a great story. A big fan of racing up in Maryland. Went to, must have gone to a number of Preaknesses, although you're not quite sure because it was during the season. It was Brooks Robinson, Frank.
Yeah, sad news. Brooks Robinson passed away at age 86. I think that was Tuesday, and I had a piece about it, and I had Gary Quill on the radio in Maryland, and he loved racing. You used to see him at Laurel, at Pimlico, and even at Timonium, pretty regularly. He used to have lunch a lot with Frank Wright, who was an owner and breeder up here, but the really cool moment for me with Brooks was we got him. He came to Timonium a couple of years ago, and he agreed to come on the set for a brief interview between races, and I said to Gary Quill, who was doing the handicapping with me, I said, you do the interview, and he said kind of no. I said no, you do it. You're a lifelong Orioles fan. You idolize Brooks Robinson. It'll mean more to you than it does to me, and you'll ask better questions because I don't even know what to ask him. So Gary did the interview, which was great, and Brooks was just as gracious and humble as could be. But the cool thing for me was standing to the side of the set watching the interview, and at some point I realized that just about everybody who was at the track that day had come out and formed a semicircle around the set to watch the interview. Like, everybody just was like, Brooks is here. And when the interview ended and he got up to leave, everybody started clapping, so it's like a standing ovation for Brooks. It was just a very, very cool moment. Like, kind of gives you chills. Even now thinking about it, like, what Brooks Robinson meant to Baltimore and to baseball and even to racing, he really was an icon, and they don't make them like that very much anymore.
No, especially spending his whole career with the Orioles. So, definitely a good moment. Frank, we need to move on. We'll have you next week, of course, but good luck today up at Laurel, and hopefully Maryland will get on the right path here.
Yeah, let's hope so. Thanks, Nick. We'll talk to you soon.
Great. Frank Vespe joining us from theracingbiz.com, and Gary Quill, one of the look forward to seeing him every probably need to get him on the show before we wrap up before the end of the year, because he does great work for the racing biz, especially over Preakness weekend. It's Foxfield weekend here, and we have a 6-race card in front of us at Foxfield. First race post time is at 12:30, and joining us on Off to the Races is the executive director of we'll take a minute here and maybe go through the card, as the two features really on the day are the $25,000 handicap hurdle, and then they have the $35,000 Tejada Memorial as the sixth race on the card. Those races set to go off at 2:50 and 3:25 or so, and they feature a number of horses we saw race at Colonial Downs over the summer. Just about all of them, actually, in the fifth race had starts at Colonial, so there'll be a lot of recognizable names. And Kelsey Cox joins us, the executive director. Kelsey, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, the Foxfield races coming up, a standard here in Charlottesville, maybe more the spring than the fall, but fall can be with a smaller crowd and just maybe more family-friendly atmosphere can be a great day as well. What are thoughts about the course and the racing tomorrow?
Well, we are celebrating our 44th running of both spring and fall. So we, as you as I was hearing you mention, we've got some great full race cards, which is really wonderful. We have, since taking over in 2020 under our new management here at Foxfield, we've put some great attention into the track. There was, as you can imagine, here in Central Virginia, there was some hard packed soil that needed some good amount of attention in order to focus on equine safety. So we've been doing some aeration, we've been doing some irrigation, and just continuously making certain that it's safe for our horses. And it looks gorgeous. It's about 7.5 inches in some areas, but mostly all 7. And it's, I think we were at 99 earlier this week, compaction. And then with some of that rain that we kept getting, we're at about 92, 93, about there, and some great moisture as well. So it should be a great day for our equine athletes.
Yeah, and looking at the two features, you know, one's an overnight, they're both, I guess, overnight handicaps, $25,000 and $35,000 mm-hmm. purses, some good opportunities here. Seismic Wave is the favorite in the fifth race. Neil Morris, certainly no stranger to Foxfield. Graham Waters, the rider aboard that horse. And then Zabil Champion, this is a horse making his first start in the United States, actually, for Jack Fisher. I'm always amazed at the talent of these horses, you know, and where they come from and bringing them in. It's so athletic to see them go over those, going over the jumps.
I agree with you. And just hearing all of the backstory of all of them, I think so many times as humans, we focus on the human athletes, the jockeys and the trainers that are doing so much to get these horses ready, but we just have some really wonderful horse athletes, and as you mentioned, some of these that are just making their debut or they're coming back to Foxfield, these trainers that continue to support what we're doing down here, and heard from many of them that they're excited about what we've been doing to maintain the track and get it ready for them.
Yeah, just a great atmosphere set in the northwest quadrant of Admiral County from Charlottesville. For fans that may be heading there for the first time tomorrow or those that aren't familiar, you know, what do they need to know about coming to Foxfield?
Our gates open at 9:30, so many people start boating in 10, 10:30, 11 o'clock. That first race is at 12:30, but to kick off the day, we're going to have a parade of hounds and a parade of beagles from our local groups here in Charlottesville, and as they parade down, welcoming and starting our day, then we will head into that first race, that maiden claiming hurdle sponsored by Tiger Fuel, and then we're going to run every 35 minutes thereafter. And as you mentioned, that second race is our flat race, and that's the only one of the day. Everybody else is a hurdle.
Yeah. Yeah, no, training flat and the VEA involved in supporting the race, Jill Byrne, Debbie Easter as well.
They're Kelsey, just wonderful, and they're going to be here with us tomorrow on race day. Their support is absolutely phenomenal and much appreciated to everything we do here. We could not be here without Virginia Equine Alliance.
Yeah, it's just a beautiful venue here in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountain. Wanted to get that in today. Kelsey, have a great day tomorrow. It looks like it's going to be a wonderful day.
It will be, and thank you so much, and thank you to all of our sponsors and supporters, and thank you to you as well for helping spread our message and our work here in Central Virginia.
You got it. Kelsey Cox, Executive Director of the Foxfield Races, joining us on Off to the Races, and just one of a number of venues that have you know, racing going on, and you know, we're going to talk to one here in a moment with Debbie Warnick, who is another executive director, this one of the Virginia Harness Horsemen's Association, and they're having a great meetup at Shenandoah, as I call it, Shenandoah Downs. I like it. I don't know if anybody else does in terms of calling it Shenandoah, but just some an influx of horsemen that have come in to compete. Tom Hall currently sits Alone is the leading trainer of the meet with 5 wins of the meet. And Fern Paquette, no relation or even close to the spelling of Jessica, by the way, with 7 wins on the driver's side. Tyler Sheehan was 6. So it's going to be interesting to watch these driver-trainer standings through the way. And joining us from Woodstock, I think, I'm assuming she's in Woodstock this morning, Debbie Warnick. And Debbie, good morning. And Daryl mentioned it was the 3rd week of the meet, and I think that is excluding the fair, which sort of kicks off the meet. This meet is flying by. If you don't have an opportunity to come out and see it, it could pass you by quickly through the month of October. Debbie, good morning. What's it like up at Shenandoah Downs this morning?
Good morning to you, too. It's a great day up here. It's a little overcast at the moment, but there's no rain, which is a difference from the past couple weeks, because we've had some rain up here this year.
Yeah, no, it's good to see that you're finally going to get a break on the weather, and actually just at the perfect time of year with October. Been there several times now during the month of October, and it's just scenic, it's cool, it's a great, it's almost air conditioning type weather when you're up there. And what is sort of ahead for the meet at Shenandoah Downs? What do you see sort of in front of you as, what are you looking forward to?
Well, we've got a couple more weeks of great racing because we always have good racing up here. We've got, as you mentioned, some drivers and trainers that duke it out pretty close in the standings. We've got some new people here this meet that weren't here in the spring or last fall. So that's adding some excitement. And we're all working towards our Breeders' Fund, which is our champion day, which is the last day of the meet in October. We've got some Breeders' Fund eliminations starting today for the 3-year-olds, and then the 2-year-olds will follow that, and then the finals.
There's been such an influx of interest when you talk about people like Steve Wetzel, or if you're talking about some of the people that have gotten involved with harness racing. It's a lot more, how should you call it, sensible maybe in terms of investment and getting involved in horse ownership. You have the Sire Stakes program, the residency program, which has done so well. Things are looking up in the Virginia harness horse industry.
Yes, it is. We're growing up here. We added the second meet in the spring, which doubled our race days. And you mentioned Steve Wetzel. He was one of our Own a Horse for a Day promotion winners, which we do. And then this year we had a second person, Barry Trum, who has now bought a horse out of the Own a Horse for a Day program. So that's exciting to have people that had nothing whatsoever to do with harness racing other than they came and watched us and they participated in that promotion, and now they own horses. So that's exciting. To get completely new blood into the sport is a good thing.
It may not seem very recent now, but at one time you were new blood to the harness industry. Maybe tell us about your entry and your background into harness racing, especially as a restaurateur and working construction of all things.
It's new blood. It's been 17 years ago now, but yes, some new blood. We started out, my husband, at the time we lived in Maryland, and my husband was just a harness racing fan all of his life from going to the tracks up there. And then when circumstances brought us to live in Virginia, where we actually had property and all that, and got hooked up with somebody, working with him, he did. Got hooked up working with a gentleman that was here in Virginia, and then got part of a horse, and then the next thing I know, there was 14 horses in the backyard. So, and then we've had babies along the way, and so life changes a lot in a short period of time.
Yeah.
But that's the one good thing about harness racing is, it's any man's sport. You can restaurant that we own or construction that I did, and the next thing you know, I can own a horse. Steve Wetzel, he was a farmer out here raising cows. Anybody in any walk of life can have something to do with harness racing.
Yeah, you're based in Saluda, which is has just sort of the neat tie-in for me, especially for our Harrisonburg listeners, with Ray Count, who was owned by Willis Kilmer, who had a interesting background in itself, but at Court Manor bred a Kentucky Derby winner, but also had a farm out in Saluda that he named with his last name backwards, Remlick, not far down the street from you.
That's right. It's literally less than a mile or so down the road from me. And evidently in its day, it was quite a facility. He had indoor covered training tracks and everything, and the remnants of that are still standing down there on the property.
Yeah, this was an interesting guy. He actually opened Zoomarama at his Court Manor property, which had all kinds of zebras and giraffes, and was apparently quite the show place back in the day. But that was back in the it was almost a century ago, back in the 1920s and 30s. Well, Debbie, we appreciate you coming on Off to the Races this morning, and good luck today at Shenandoah Downs, and looking to, if everything goes right, we'll be broadcasting there next week.
Well, we look forward to that. Thank you for having me, and anybody that's in the area, come on out and enjoy a great day and great racing.
Yeah, great racing. It is a great venue to see it. Debbie Warnick joining us from Shenandoah Downs this weekend. On Off to the Races. So coming up on the final strides of Off to the Races, looks like we're going to have good enough weather. Hopefully the track dries out enough up at Laurel Park. Kentucky has a big day of racing with Churchill Downs with a big race card there. And, of course, out at Santa Anita later today, look for National Treasure to have a challenging test in the Awesome Again Stakes. I want to thank everybody that was on the show today. Daryl Wood, John Salzman, Frank Vespi, Debbie Warnick, and Kelsey Cox. So plenty of racing, and we hope that you have a sensational Saturday, and look forward to talking to you next week on Off to the Races as all across Virginia, just all kinds of racing, whether it's with the sulkies or over the flats or over the hedges. It's a big weekend of racing throughout the Commonwealth. We'll talk to you next week on Off to the Races, post time, 10 o'clock.